If you turn your Bible, please, to the book of Isaiah, the chapter 9, Isaiah chapter 9, the portion that we read together. I want to speak in verse 6 and 7. For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And here we have before us the birth of a great Savior. The birth of a great Savior. Unto us a child is born. So we pray the Lord to bless us here around his word. So let's pray it together. Father in heaven, we thank you for, Lord, the singing has taken place, the praise. We thank you, Lord, for the young people who played a part, and Lord, in this service. And I pray you've made all those things, Lord, a real blessing to the hearts of your people, that we have been singing even of Christ, our great Savior. And as we turn now to thy word, we pray for help. I ask for help, Lord, to speak on the message you've laid upon my heart. And I pray, Lord, it will touch the hearts of everyone in this place as we think about the birth of a great Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Continue with us now, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. We do know this morning that the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's one of the greatest events that has ever taken place in this world. And it's good at this Christmas period of time that we remind ourselves of the coming of the Son of God into this world. Because I want you to think of this today. Without the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ into this world, we would have no hope. There would be no God. There would be no salvation. There would be no heaven. There would be no Savior if the Lord Jesus Christ had not come into this world. Remember, he's referring there, of course, in John 15, verse 22, about coming to speak to people about their sin. And he said the words, if I had not come and spoken unto them. And we can take that little phrase of the Lord Jesus Christ, if I had not come. Think of that today personally to your own heart, child of God, this morning. If Jesus Christ had not come, if he had not come down from heaven into this world, if he had not been born in a manger, if he had not come to die in the cross, where would we be? We would be lost. We would be lost without God, without hope. Thank God he has come. We've been singing about it. The Christmas carols, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ into this world, the prophet Isaiah over around 700 years before the incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ, he's preaching and he's prophesying and he's telling the people about this birth, about this coming into the world of the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ was coming. For he says, for unto us a child is born and unto us a son is given. And he was preaching about this many, many years before it actually happened. And I want us today, in the closing moments, to center our attention upon the words of the great prophet here, Isaiah, in these words. Now, I think here he speaks about Jesus Christ and his humanity. He says very plainly and powerfully, a child is born. He's referring here to the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. But he's talking about his humanity. A child is born. That word child can mean a lad or offspring. And he's speaking here about the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. A child, referring to Jesus Christ as a child. I want you to think of that. We'll notice more about the greatness of Christ in our message. But he's saying here, listen, here's something miraculous. Here is something marvelous. It's going to happen. A child is born. The Lord Jesus Christ is a child. Now, he spoke about this in Isaiah 7, verse 14. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. So, he had given some light on this happening just a previous word. She talked about a virgin. We know that's the Virgin Mary. Talked about a son, talked about how he should call his name Emmanuel. But the lesson's very clear here. He's talking about someone wonderful, something wonderful that is going to happen. This one, the Lord Jesus Christ, he's coming down into this world, and he's going to come into this world as a little child. That's the humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ. You read the Bible, you'll find when it refers to the Lord Jesus and his birth, and Mary, she was found with what? With child. It was a child in her womb. I'm glad Mary didn't believe in abortion in those days. There's a child, this little child in the womb of the Virgin Mary. And it says in Matthew 1, for instance, verse 23, behold, a virgin shall be with child. When King Herod was talking to the wise men, he says to them, and he sent to them, he says, go search diligently for the young child. And so here we find in the Bible the humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's saying here he's coming into this world as a child. A child, listen, is born. Is born. The Lord Jesus Christ was real. He's human. And he came into this world as a little baby. Now we love, I love Christmas time. I love the singing of the carols. I remember as a young man when I had no religion in me at all. I was lost. I was in the world and I was in sin. But I loved to go to sing carols. And I thought I'd get up this particular Sunday before Christmas and go to the Church of Ireland church that I belong to. And we're going to hear all these singing of carols. And I remember going down and getting dressed and I went down to the church. You know something? They never sung one. They never sung a carol. And boys, I went home miserable. I tell you, we sing about the Lord Jesus, a little child. And the young boys and girls sang so well this morning, and that was very good. Away in a manger, no crib for a bed, the little Lord Jesus lay down his sweet head. The stars in the sky looked down where he lay, the little Lord Jesus asleep on the head. So we're reminded here about a child is born. Now he says here about a son is given. The deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here is something that is remarkable. Here is something that mysterious. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh. The God of the Bible, the God of creation, the God of our salvation. Here's the teaching of the Bible. He became a man. A son is given. He's given. I mean, we know that great verse in the Bible in John chapter 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave. And he gave his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He sent him down from heaven into this world. He's the Son of God. He's God the Son. He's the second person of the Trinity. Yet here it tells us a son is given. We have the humiliation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, it says in Philippians 2, verse 6, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal of God, but made himself of no reputation, and put upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. Now, the Bible is very clear. The Bible is very clear here in the humiliation and the humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is God. And yet he became man. He was born. And here's Isaiah preaching. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. He believes us. He knows us. He's preaching this with all of his heart. That the Lord Jesus Christ is coming into the world. Notice also we said here. For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. Think of those words. Unto us. And you can think there in Isaiah when in chapter 1, how he began his prophecy. And you can read in the opening verses of that particular book about the vision of Isaiah. He's preaching. He's talking about the people. He's talking here about their lifestyle, how they live. You can go down through that chapter. God says, they have rebelled. They have rebelled against me. He tells them on down that chapter that their very actions and their lives is worse than animals. Talks about all their sin. But I want you to think of this. Isaiah said, but unto us, a child is born, unto us, a son is given. Listen, we're wicked, we're sinful, we're wretched. We have left God.
We have rebelled against him. But unto us, he sent his son. He sent him into this world for us. I want you, child of God, to say today, for unto me, we all have sinned to come short of the glory of God. We have failed the Lord. We have rebelled against him. But for unto us in this meeting, a child is born. A son is given. How wonderful, how wonderful is the love of God to our hearts. For unto us. And get a person into your heart this morning. And say, unto me. Where would you be? Only for the great love of God. Where would you be today, a child of God, if God had not loved us, if God had not sent his son down into this world, where would you be? You'd be lost. Some of us would be in hell. But oh, here we have the humiliation of the Lord Jesus Christ, the humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ coming down into this world. So we sing about it at this Christmas period. We preach about it at this particular time of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ into this world. Jesus Christ and his humanity, a child and a son, the Son of God. And we believe that. The cults don't believe it. They attack it. They despise it. They blaspheme against Jesus Christ. But we believe it. We believe Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus Christ came into this world. I believe it. And this congregation believes in the great incarnation of the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, coming down into the world. So Isaiah's preaching us. He's not afraid to preach it. He believes it. For his boldness, he believes it with all his heart. But the Lord Jesus coming into this world. And I believe it with all my heart today. I hope you believe it. I hope there's no one doubts here the coming of the Son of God down from heaven into this world. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. I want you to say secondly here, he talks about Jesus Christ and his authority. But notice what he says here. And the government shall be upon his shoulders. The word government can really mean like empire. Now when you think of the Lord Jesus Christ as a little child there in the manger, There was very, very little upon his shoulders. Just looking at him naturally. If you looked in and you saw him there in the manger, you saw swaddling clothes. That's what you saw upon his shoulders. He who was rich became poor. He's wrapped in swaddling clothes, just like rags tied around him. But with the spiritual eye here of Isaiah, when he could see this, remember, God was giving him this vision of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ into the world. And when he looked into the manger by faith, he says, upon his shoulders is the government. Everything's upon his shoulders of this little one coming into the world. The Lord Jesus Christ and his authority. And Hebrews 1 verse 3, it talks about the Lord Jesus, talks about the brightness of his glory, the express image of the person of his person. And it says this of the Lord Jesus, and upholding all things by the word of his power. In other words, know what he's telling us. He holds the whole world in his hands. The Lord Jesus Christ does this. And I want you to see that this morning. He's the one who is in authority. Remember, he's king. When the wise men came, they asked the question in Matthew 2, verse 2, where is he? He's born, listen, king. The king of the Jews. It caused a real disturbance there, really, in the city there of Jerusalem. But they came in and they said, well, where is he? Where is he? The king. Remember this, the Lord Jesus Christ is king. Remember that today, every child of God, and every person here in this meeting. The Lord Jesus Christ, he is king. It says here about his government shall and peace there shall be no end. The Lord Jesus Christ has a universal kingdom. Now, in Psalm 103, verse 19, notice it says here, the Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens. His kingdom, it ruleth over all. All. And Isaiah talks about this little child, the Lord Jesus Christ, being brought into this world. And he says, the kingdom, the government, the empire. He says, listen, it's upon his shoulders. Everything rests upon this one, this little child, Jesus Christ. His kingdom rules over all. I know if you ask the question today, well, who rules the world? Well, Putin, to put his chest out. Maybe Biden over there, United States of America. Maybe it'd be the president of China, whoever it may be. And there's others would say, well, it's me, it's my empire, it's my army, and so on. But I want to tell you today, the Lord Jesus Christ, all authority belongs to him. He's king. He's king over all the earth. Remember the Bible tells us that in Revelation 17, verse 14, when he comes, he's Lord of lords and King of kings. Isn't that amazing? That our Savior, our God, he's Lord of lords and he's King of kings. And the government shall be upon his shoulders. And it talks about the throne of David, the place. Talks about justice and righteousness. Talks about it's going to be forever, forever, everlasting kingdom. Because he's the everlasting king. And Isaiah said, the government is upon his shoulders. Everything rests upon Christ. We haven't time to look, but he rules all. He rules the material world. He rules it. We find there in Psalm 47, verse 7, for the God is the king of the whole earth. You take the sun and the moon. Who rules the sun and the moon? Who rules the rain? You can read in Psalm 104, verse 13, how God, what does he do? Well, he gives the rain. Who causes the sun to shine? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. He rules. He rules the material world. You go down to Psalm 104, it talks about the animals. All the different animals, talks about birds, talks about goats, talks about lambs, talks about sea creatures. And then it tells us in verse 7, it says, these wait all upon thee, that thou mayest give them their meat in due season. Talk all about the animals. And it says, they're waiting, they're looking to the Lord, they're looking and they're waiting on that food. You see, he rules over all things, even the animal kingdom. He rules over mankind. Remember the Bible tells us in Proverbs 21, verse 1, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. God is over all things. He rules all, the Lord Jesus. The spiritual world. The government shall be upon his shoulders. You may look at the world today and you may say, well, it seems to be out of control. There's so much death. There's so much blood. There's so much trouble. And there's wars all over the world today. And the world seems to be out of control. But it is not out of control. Not out of control of Christ. He's got the whole world in his hands. Are you glad, child of God, that you're in his hands? He's got your world, that little small world of yours, in his hands. He's holding you in your hands. None can touch you without his permission. And he says here, this little one, he says about the government shall be upon his shoulders. The authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remind ourselves of this today. The Lord Jesus Christ is Lord, and the Lord Jesus Christ is King. And there is none like him. He's over all. I wonder, is he controlling your life today? Do you know he still reigns in your life? Even in his birth, when he brought into the world as a little child, the whole world was placed upon him. He talked here about the Lord Jesus and his authority, and that should be an encouragement to God's people today. It should be a challenge to those who's unconverted in this meeting. You're living in rebellion. You're living in sin against the Lord of glory, the King of Kings. Sin is a serious thing. It's against the King. Your sin's against the King. If you're not going on with God, if you're living for the world, if you're rejecting Christ as your Savior, you're rebelling against his authority. You're rebelling against his law, the royal law of God, the commandments. That's a great sin. That's an awful sin, to sin against God. And I hope the Lord will turn you from your sin and bring you to the Lord Jesus Christ even today. It talks about here Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus, and his identity. Because he's taken up with this marvel of this child being born, a son is given, and the whole government placed upon his shoulders. And he's not stopped yet, in a sense, as he looks over and he's looking into the manger and looking by faith at the Lord Jesus Christ, this little child, he's taken up with him. He wants to tell us more and more and more about the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he does tell us more.
Talks about his identity. His names. In fact, his name. Someone who says God namings are always main character. They are always revelations to tell us what the person is or what he does.
And Isaiah is going to tell us who Jesus is. Little one brought into the world. I notice the name he gives. He says his name shall be called. Remember in the singular, but he gives us different names here. Wonderful. Going to call him wonderful. Sometimes with the boys and girls, we get them to sing that little chorus. Isn't he wonderful? Wonderful, wonderful. Isn't Jesus my Lord wonderful? Eyes have seen, well, ears have heard. It's recorded in God's word. Isn't Jesus my Lord wonderful? And here's Isaiah, and he's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, here's what you're going to call him. Wonderful. He's wonderful. Everything about the Lord Jesus Christ is wonderful. Everything is wonderful. His birth was wonderful. Miraculous in the womb of the Virgin Mary. Remember? In Luke 1, verse 35, and it's telling Mary what's going on. And the angel answered and said unto her, Mary, was wondered, how was this going to happen? The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. His birth was wonderful. No one was ever born like this. Jesus Christ is wonderful. What about his life? It's wonderful. Everything he said was wonderful. His words were wonderful. Here's the one who stood and looked at people and he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. And he's calling people to come to him. His works were wonderful. Remember Acts chapter 10, verse 28, he says he went about doing good. Everything was wonderful. His miracles was wonderful. When he went to the cross and wounded for our transgressions, and he was bruised for our iniquities, and we see him now on the cross, his death is wonderful. The Lord Jesus Christ is wonderful. Resurrection is wonderful. His love is wonderful. But we sing that sometimes. Isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful? And the longer we go on with the Lord Jesus Christ, those of us who are saved today, the longer we go on with the Lord Jesus Christ, we wonder, we marvel that he loved the likes of us. But isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful? His love is wonderful. Mercy is wonderful. That he will forgive us. His blood that was shed is wonderful. His salvation is wonderful. He's wonderful as a prophet. He's wonderful as a priest. He's wonderful as a king. He's a wonderful Savior. And you're going to call him wonderful. Jesus, my Lord, is wonderful. He's a wonderful Savior. And I say that today in the pulpit, and I've said it out on the streets during the week when I've been doing open airs in Armagh and Portydown. I've been preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ and telling the people who's going past, he's wonderful. Jesus Christ, wonderful. I know to the world, he's not wonderful. They don't like him. They despise him. They reject him. But I'll tell you this, he's wonderful to me. He's wonderful to many people in this congregation. He's a wonderful Savior. He's a wonderful friend, isn't he? He's your best friend. As you go on, you'll find that. Maybe you've found it out already. There's no friend like a lowly Jesus. He's a friend that never leave you. He's never left me. He should have left me many times. But you know, he's never left me. He's wonderful. I could stand here all day and talk about how Jesus Christ is wonderful, but we haven't let you home for your dinner. Isn't that right? But what a name. What a name was placed upon him. He's wonderful. And you glad, child of God, that you know him today. You wouldn't swap the whole world for Christ. Take the world, but give me Jesus. Isn't that right? And the world will go mad over this week. And it's only by the grace of God I'm not going mad, or you're not going mad with them. And we used to do it. But Jesus, my Savior, is wonderful. And as I said, he's wonderful to me as well. He's a wonderful Savior, Jesus Christ. Do you know him today personally as your Savior? Maybe there's some sitting here, maybe for years, and you're still unconverted, without God, without hope. Come to Christ. He's a wonderful Savior who can save you. He can cleanse you from sin. Who can give you everlasting life? The Lord Jesus Christ. He's wonderful. I asked you, is he wonderful to you today? I'm not asking you, have you heard about him? I'm not asking you, do you believe he came into the world? Yes, you believe these things. I'm asking you, is he wonderful to you? Call him wonderful. Well, what a name that is, isn't it? We're not so wonderful. We're not a bit of it. But Jesus, my Lord, is wonderful. He's a great Savior. You glad he's your Savior? You know, if he had to stop there, Isaiah, he said enough, hadn't he? But he's not finished. And I've had to go through the next one very quickly, for time is gone this morning. A counselor. Some counselors, we would say, it's not really too wonderful. But Jesus is wonderful. He's a counselor. He's wise. He can give advice. He knows all things, you see. Remember the woman at the well who met him, and she's talking to the Lord Jesus, and she says in John 4, verse 25, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ, and when he has come, he'll tell us all things. He's going to come, the Messiah, he's going to come. He's going to tell us all things. He knows all things, you see. He knows all things. Remember, it says in Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6, trust the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not on to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Sometimes you need counsel. I need counsel. Well, we have a counselor. The Lord Jesus Christ will give his people guidance. He cares. Remember, casting all your care upon him, for he cared for you. There are people out there, professional counselors, and they're in it for the money. They're not really concerned about your well-being, but they claim to help and do this and that. But Jesus Christ cares. He's wonderful. He's counselor. He knows. He tells us what to do and where to go. And for those who's unconverted today, he tells you to repent and believe the gospel. You see, counselor, that's a name. Mighty God. Isaiah is still looking, in a sense, by faith into this manger. So I want to tell you another name. What other name? The Mighty God. The Mighty God. What a name is given to the Lord Jesus Christ here. He's all powerful. I really quoted that verse in 1 Timothy 3, verse 16. And without controversy, greatness and mystery of godliness, God was manifested in the flesh. This little one brought into the world, Isaiah said, is God. And here's what you're going to call him. You're going to call him the Mighty God. That's who he is. That's who he is. Well, you meet the Jehovah's Witnesses, I meet them. And I give them this verse, and they always say, well, no, oh, yes, yes. You don't call him the Almighty. He's not the Almighty God. Well, if they read their Bibles over in Revelation, it actually does say that the Lord Jesus Christ, he is the Almighty God in Revelation 1. But, you know, when you go to Jeremiah, for instance, and chapter 32 of that verse, in verse 18, and the prophet Jeremiah is preaching about the Lord Jesus Christ. And here's what he says about Jehovah. Thou showest loving kindness unto thousands, and recompensest the iniquity of the fathers into the bosom of their children after them. And here's what he says. The great, the mighty God, the same word. The Lord of hosts is his name. Jehovah is his name. Who's the mighty God? Jehovah. Who's the Lord Jesus Christ? Jehovah. He is the mighty God. He's a God of all power, you see. And so we come to the Bible and we find even Revelation, I said 1 verse 8, Christ Jesus says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. And that whole chapter 1 of Revelation, it's all about the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, I am the Almighty. Our Savior's a mighty God. Not a bit of wonder as I was preaching. He's preaching about this one brought into the world. He says, you're going to call him this name. The mighty God. Are you glad your God is mighty? You feel weak at times. We feel we have no strength. We need him. We need his power. We need help. We need guidance. We have one who's mighty. He's a mighty God. He's everlasting Father. Well, that doesn't mean he's the Father, the first person of the Trinity. But he is the Father in the sense over creation, the beginning of creation. All things were made by him. He's everlasting, Father. He actually tells us something else, sir. He's everlasting. Now, we do know we came into the world and he was born in Bethlehem. But the Lord Jesus lived, lived long before this. He is everlasting. He is eternal. He had no beginning and he has no end. Micah 5 tells us that coming forth here in Bethlehem, whose going forth has been from, listen, everlasting. And why he was born and born into this manger, and Isaiah is bringing us to the birth of Jesus Christ. He's everlasting. He's everlasting God. He's a Prince of Peace. He tells us that as well. He's a Prince of Peace. Do you know he made peace? He made peace by dying on the cross, that great sacrifice for our sins. He put away the enmity. And the Lord Jesus died and made peace with God for us. Listen. He gives peace. Peace like a river is flooding my soul since Christ my Savior maketh me whole. He gives peace. He gives us peace with God, therefore being justified by faith. We have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And Isaiah says, tell him, here's what you're going to call him. He's the Prince of Peace. He gives peace. Everlasting peace. What a Savior. The birth of a great Savior. And that's who was born. That's who we remind ourselves today. The coming of Christ, his incarnation into this world. A great Savior. Can I say in closing and ask you in closing, have you this peace of God in your heart? Are you saved? Are you right with God? Well, it's time to seek the Lord. It is time to repent and put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. You don't want to lose your soul. You don't want to end up in hell for all eternity, where you'll never have peace and you'll never get the opportunity to get peace. But you have opportunity today to make it right with God and come to the Lord Jesus Christ, who can give you peace, who can cleanse you from sin, who can save your soul. No one else can save you, none but Jesus Christ. So come to this great Savior. Because I'm glad today we can say a great Savior has been born. Jesus, my Lord, is wonderful. And I trust the Lord to write his word upon your hearts. Any questions, speak with me at the door. And if you want to ask more about the way of salvation, we're here to help people today. And I trust the Lord will bless his word to the hearts of all. And we'll go home rejoicing. We have a wonderful Savior. Let's all pray together. Father in heaven, we thank you for being with us today. And we thank you for the word of God. For the prophet Isaiah, all those years ago, he really brought us to the manger. He brought us, Lord, by faith, to the incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can say, unto us, Lord, a child is born, and unto us a son is given. We marvel. It was for us. Lord, we're sinners. We don't deserve your love. We don't deserve your mercy. We don't deserve your grace, Lord. But unto us, you did this. What a Savior we have in the Lord Jesus. I pray your people go home today rejoicing that their Savior's wonderful. And for those who's unconverted, Lord, bring them to yourself. Bless us tonight as we come back again. Bring others in to hear the word of God. Take our separate ways now to our homes in safety. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.